Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
So it shouldn't have surprised me yesterday, because I've always felt this way, at least over the last 20 years doing The Bert Show and having celebs come in, be it actresses, be it musical artists, whatever. I've always felt like when we have somebody in here that's on their way up, that's where the attitude is, right? And maybe it's stemmed out of insecurity or whatever. But once they make it, you know, when the J-Lo's of the world come in here, or the Miley Cyruses of the world come in here, or the Kylie Minogues of the world come in here like she did yesterday, there's no insecurity of having to prove anything to anybody. So it makes the interview so much easier and so much more vulnerable. And that's what happened yesterday, I think, with Kylie. She was awesome.
She was incredible. Yeah. And there is a little bit of anxiety when it comes to doing these interviews still for me, because I've only done a handful of them. And there's something about her presence that's just like really calming.
Yeah.
She's very even keeled, and not like in a boring way, just like in a very peaceful, I do yoga in the mornings and meditate on the beach kind of way. Like she really puts you at ease when you talk to her.
Throughout the morning, we'll play clips from the time that we spent with her. But it was really cool. I mean, she comes in here. We've got like, what do you think, 30, 40 listeners in there?
Yeah.
There's like 40 to 50 people in that room, that conference room.
And she's got a new album coming out on Friday. So we all sat there, hang with her for a little bit, asked questions. She was eager to answer everything. And then she would explain like the stories behind music or her life. And it was just really, really, it was great.
She was, I mean, just, I'm not going to say I had high expectations, but I was like, I was hopeful that she would be as lovely as I thought she would, like she would be. And she did. She exceeded the expectations. Like, she was just so humble and so gracious and just fun to talk to. And then, the music, it's bangers. Like, this is like dance floor music.
Yeah, it's what you expect from her, right? Uh-huh. So this was like the very first question I asked was like, here you are where it all started back in radio. I mean, take us back to the time you first heard your song on the radio. And I don't think I realized at the time she was going to take us back to 1987.
Do you remember where you were the very first time you heard one of your songs on the radio? I think that's still a special thing. At some point, it's going to be like, hey, do you remember where you heard your song on TikTok? But we're not there yet.
But TikTok? This is 1987. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. I will never forget the first time I heard my song on the radio. I had recorded a demo of The Locomotion. I didn't have a label. I didn't have a clue. And I got signed for one single. And I was in the TV show Neighbours at the time, so people probably knew me more as my character's name from the show than my name, Charlene, exactly. And there was a radio show, and they had a segment called The Top 8 at 8. You would pick up the phone, dial the number, make a mistake, pick up the phone again, dial the number, call in, yeah, I'd like to vote for blah, blah. So it was The Top 8 at 8, and I was with my family in the kitchen kind of front room of our house. I could just picture it now. So like, new in at number 8, we've got blah, blah. And we're like, okay. And literally the further it got towards the pointy end, we were just prepping like, okay, well, that's all right. You know, it's okay. It's all right. Anyway, you know what the end of the story is going to be. They said, we've got a new song in at number 1, and it was my song. And
freaking
we just,
out.
Yeah, it was wild. And I guess that's the other part of that story that's really gorgeous, is that it was listener voted. So, you know, I had a long way to go to kind of be accepted critically, but from the beginning it's been the people. So that's a nice segue from talking about the relationship with fans.
You could just kind of hear in her voice how authentic she still is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to play those clips for you throughout the morning. And then by the end of the show, we'll put the whole thing up also at thebertshow.com. But she met expectations for sure.
She exceeded them.
And you never quite know. You just never quite know. All right. So maybe you're a person that likes Halloween, but you're afraid of horror movies and scary movies. I don't know why people watch them. I hate them. I hate them.
Yeah. Halloween is supposed to be a time for horror fans. And yet I am surrounded by cowards. I've gathered that you guys don't really like being scared.
Not in movies. No, not really. That's kind of like the downtime, isn't it?
I love it. I love everything about horror. I love horror movies, scary haunted houses, all that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I had a feeling for you. I'm glad for my recommendation for you. Because I have curated a list of horror movies that would be perfect for each of you based on both your personality and tolerance to scares. And they're all available on streaming today.
Okay.
These recommendations go from Tiny Little Baby to Fearless. And we're starting with Kristen.
Mm.
So I had a lot of trouble trying to think of a good recommendation for you because I was like, you have to have something that if it's playing in your living room and Jimmy walks in,
there you go,
he cannot be traumatized by it.
So I'd probably be more traumatized than him, but I appreciate your concern.
So I thought, what if I come up with a good Halloween movie that you can watch with Jimmy?
I love it.
And it came to me. Kiki's Delivery Service.
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Ooh, sounds scary.
Terrified. You know my nickname's Kiki, right?
It's perfect.
It depends what she's delivering. It's going to make it scary.
This is a beloved movie. It's an animated movie from Japan. It's from 1989 about a young witch who starts a flying delivery service after settling into a small seaside town with her cat. It's a story of magic, friendship, and the importance of finding your place in the world.
Oh, it's like spooky DoorDash.
It honestly is. It's like very cute, spooky DoorDash. This movie is rated okay for babies, okay for Kristen.
Yay!
I was more concerned about you peeing yourself because that happens from time to time.
It does.
Than anything else.
It really does. I can't believe I jumped up and down on the parade foot like I did and never once like urinated myself.
That's impressive.
It was a feat. All right, so Kiki's Delivery Service.
Kiki's Delivery Service.
All right, thank you.
We're making a big jump now from G-rated Halloween to PG-13 horror.
Ooh.
For Bert.
Okay, I can handle this.
For Bert, I was like, okay, what does he like? He likes soccer. He likes working out. But what does he like most of all? He likes to guess exactly how and when he's going to die.
That's true.
Which is why I've chosen the movie Countdown. Ignore the fact that this movie got 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's very fun. Countdown follows the story of a nurse who downloads an app that claims to predict the exact moment a person is going to die. She learns she only has 3 days left.
Damn.
And with the clock ticking, must find a way to save her own life before time runs out.
Okay.
This is a great movie to watch with your son and just make fun of it and have fun.
All right. It got a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Give or take.
So I'm not totally sure how Abby feels about horror movies, but there's one thing I know. She loves Adam Brody.
I do.
Which makes this recommendation very easy. My recommendation for Abby is Ready or Not.
Mm.
Ready or Not is rated R, so it is for the mature mind. It follows Grace, who marries the man of her dreams at his family's luxurious estate.
This is a horror film?
It is. But there's a catch. She must now hide from her in-laws from midnight until dawn while they try to hunt her down.
I remember that.
It's such a good movie.
It really is.
It's so much fun. I think you'd really like it because A, it's about a woman who girl bosses too close to the sun. And B, it stars Adam Brody as a very sexy, very brooding, morally conflicted brother-in-law.
Ooh, just up my alley.
There's a little bit of gore, but it's nothing like too exciting. So I think you could probably handle it.
Okay.
Okay, Mo, I was hoping that you like scary movies.
Love.
Otherwise, it was going to be nope. JK, that's very scary. This movie I'm recommending to you is for the creepier people. The people who like the really creepy movies, because this one is like a perfectly encapsulated little scary story. It's called The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh.
And if you're not scared, if you don't like the scares, stay for the boobies.
Oh, say less.
Yeah, because Jane Doe is naked the whole time.
Hey.
So the autopsy of Jane Doe is about a father and a son, both coroners, who are pulled into a complex mystery while attempting to identify the cause of death of a young woman who was apparently harboring a dark secret.
Mm. That sounds right up my alley.
It does. It's
I'm here for it.
It's so good. I watch this like every Halloween because it's like perfect jump scares, perfect plot, and it's like a small little movie. I've left the scariest for last because Cassie is a little bit of a conundrum to me.
She's very to all of us.
She's very sensitive, very empathetic, but I believe she would enjoy a good scare. She's often the last person in the office when I leave. So I'm recommending to her Last Shift. This is like the scariest movie ever. This movie really scared me. It's like the perfect amalgamation of jump scares and creepy plot. It's set in a police station where a rookie cop is tasked with taking the last shift before the building is permanently closed. And let's just say it doesn't go well. It's got blood, guts, creepy singing women, cult leaders, and a lady who's just trying to do her job.
I've got my Friday night plans.
Yay!
I used to watch, my favorite movie is Scream, and I used to watch horror all the time. And then I got anxiety. But now I'm on medication, so bring on the horror movie.
The Burt Show.
Get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I can only imagine that when you're a pregnant woman and you're in that final home stretch of pregnancy, you kind of feel like a ticking time bomb because at any moment you could pop that sucker out. And that's exactly what happened to country music star Brantley Gilbert's wife over the weekend. So Brantley Gilbert is currently on tour right now. He was doing a show in Tupelo, Mississippi. And when his show started on Friday, everything was going good. Wife was in the back on the tour bus hanging out. He's starting the show. And then like a couple of minutes into it, someone pulls him off stage because his wife was going into labor. And so he's like, okay, well, we got to take her to the hospital. They look at him and they're like, we can't take her to the hospital. Like, the baby is coming now. So he goes backstage, watches his wife give birth on the tour bus, comes back out, and lets the crowd know everybody's good.
Dang.
We got a baby in Mississippi.
It was so cute. Wow. He comes out. He's so excited. I don't think this is his first child, but he posted a video that I wanted to play for you, but there's very loud background music and it's just not very audio friendly. But he's like on the phone with his mom saying like, we got to go finish the show, but like, we're going to FaceTime you afterwards because like, we have a new baby here.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't giving first kid energy. Yeah. And I was like, so that's their third. So it makes sense that it was just on the fast track to come out because her body's like, her body's done this before. So she's like, let's just pop this baby out right here on this tour bus.
It's a nice story, but it would have been way more impactful had they done it on the stage. Delivered the baby on the stage.
Ooh, what song of his do you think he should have been performing while his wife was giving birth? I don't know anything about Brantley Gilbert.
Me neither. I was hoping one of you guys were going
to
have
that.
that one song about, you know, growing up and having
trucks.
Children.
That one about trucks.
Oh, yeah, and cold beer.
Yeah.
And farming corn.
Oh, I love that song,
And Hoochie Shorts.
And Hoochie Shorts. So, yeah, really exciting night for the people of Tupelo, Mississippi, and Brantley Gilbert and his wife. So sweet. Okay, I'm curious. Bert, does Amanda listen to the show? Like, does she enjoy tuning in?
Yes.
Do you feel weird about her tuning in?
Not at all.
Well, you know what celeb couple does not let each other watch each other's things is Kelsey Ballerini and Chase Stokes. So I read this on PeopleMagazine.com. Kelsey Ballerini says that she and her boyfriend Chase Stokes have a deal. She will not watch Outer Banks, which is the show on Netflix that he is the star in. So she recently did a TikTok challenge where she had to rank all of the characters of Outer Banks. You know, they'll have like these filters and they'll kind of roll through the cast and then you've got to pick where they go. And she's like, just a heads up, I don't watch the show because me and Chase have a deal that I don't watch it. And then I was very interested to see where she was going to rank everybody because his ex-girlfriend is on the show.
Oops.
Oh. And that's why she doesn't watch it.
Now, she didn't come out and explain, hey, I don't watch it because he is macking on his ex-girlfriend because she's the love interest. But she did go on and like go through the whole filter where she was like, oh, I don't know that guy, so I'm going to put him at number 10. And then when the ex-girlfriend came up, I was like, this is a very precarious position. Like, where are you going to put the ex-girlfriend? You don't want to put her too high. You don't want to put her too low. So obviously she secluded the number one spot for Chase Stokes, and she put the ex-girlfriend at number 3. Very tasteful spot.
Number three. Not insecure at all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I think if we were still doing that bit where I make out with a listener every day at the same time, then Amanda wouldn't listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the old 820 make out with a listener thing didn't work very well.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. But yeah, when your ex-girlfriend's on the show and she's your love interest, probably you don't want to tune in. Makes a lot of sense. All right. Glenn Powell is actually currently shooting a new Hulu series in Atlanta. I have been dying to see this man because I think if we met in a bar, I do think I would have a shot with him if he was really, really drunk. So over the weekend, people actually got to see him film this new series because I guess they needed the UGA stadium to be able to film a specific scene. So Chad Powers is following a disgraced college quarterback, and he walks onto a struggling Southern football team. So, you know, Florida State. And they had to shoot this scene where he walks out into the crowd. And of course, because it's a very struggling team, even though it's Glenn Powell, they can't be cheering for him. No, they got to humble him a little bit. So, of course, this is a scene where they're, like, booing him. And we have no idea what's going on because it's such a mind screw because you're walking out or you're seeing them walk out and you're in UGA Stadium. Yeah. And I can't remember who they were playing this weekend, but it was, like, a completely unrelated team to the colors that Glenn Powell had on. I was like, who's this blue and yellow team? Like, who are these randos? But the premise of this show is really funny. It's actually based off a docuseries that Eli Manning did with ESPN a couple of years ago where Eli wore a bunch of prosthetic makeup and then pretended to be a guy trying out for the Penn State football team.
You didn't see that?
No.
Like, you know it's Eli, then you're like, how are these students not seeing that it's him?
You could tell.
Oh, yeah. Very easily.
Yeah.
All right, Hollywood must not pay as much as it used to because some stars are admitting they have second jobs as a doula, a farmer, and even a beekeeper. I'll reveal who's doing that on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Special thanks to today's sponsor, Georgia Safe Retirement Planners.
I know it's Halloween and it's spooky season here, and in my neighborhood, I had the scariest thing that I think I've ever seen. As soon as I turned the corner from my house the other day, I saw a Cybertruck parked in a driveway. In my damn neighborhood. Now, luckily, it had a Florida license plate, so I'm just assuming they're here temporarily and then they will leave. But I'm like, God is messing with me, man. And God is really messing with me with this Cybertruck thing. All right, Cassie, Disney is supposed to be the most magical place on earth. So how is it possible that it is causing tension between you and your husband?
I have a 4-year-old daughter, so we're getting into the Disney movies, and she loves Beauty and the Beast. Sidebar, I saw a meme yesterday that was, I thought I was going to grow up to be Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and instead I grew up to be Anxiety from Inside Out, and that was very accurate. So I was watching it, and when you watch it as an adult through a different pair of eyes from a kid, it's still magical. Still love the movie. But for some reason, it finally resonated with me, something the Beast did, and I was like, I don't agree with that. I think that was actually incredibly irresponsible. And I told my husband this, and he's like, you are on crack. He made the right choice. And we had this heated debate, and it got really tense over Beauty and the Beast. It wasn't a fight. It was just like, we are not seeing eye to eye.
You're like, I thought your values were very different on this.
Well, it wasn't.
Who are you?
It wasn't even just values. I'm just like, hello, logically, it's an ethics question. It's very easy. There's a simple answer. And he's like, no, it's not. So anyway, I'm going to bring to you guys the debate and you can tell me who is right.
See, this is the problem when you have two smart people in the relationship.
Yeah, right.
These kind of debates are going to pop up all the time.
So this movie, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, it came out in 1991. So statute of limitations is done. I'm going to tell you what happens.
Book's been around for a minute, too.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. So if you don't know, it's, you know, a prince gets turned into a beast after he's rude to a witch, and he has to fall in love and receive love back in order to turn back into the prince. And there's a rose, and the petals fall off, and if he doesn't do it by the time the arbitrary petals fall off the rose, uh-oh, beast for life, along with everyone in the castle, right? All of his staff in the castle has been turned into, like, there's a child who's a teacup, there's a Mrs. Potts who's a kettle, you've got Lumiere, the candelabra, like a bunch of people are inanimate objects because of the beast's bad attitude.
There's a lot of collateral damage here.
That's where I'm going with
okay.
this.
Okay.
So, blah, blah, blah. He falls in love with Belle, blah, blah, blah. They have a magic mirror, and she looks into it. She goes, I'd like to see my father. And looks and sees her father in danger, right? He's being chased by wolves or something like that. But at this point, she's the prisoner in the beast's castle. And so he's trying to make her fall in love with her to break the curse. And he has a decision to make. I love this woman. Should I keep her here selfishly so I can turn back into a prince? Or should I let her go be with her father? Mm. And he makes what you would think is the right decision and says, go be with your dad. I sacrifice myself. That's where I have an issue.
Okay.
Because this never registered with me before. This mofo says, go, oh, I'll sacrifice myself. I'll be a beast forever, basically, so you can go rescue your dad. What about the rest of the people in the castle? He's throwing them under the bus. Mm. This should have been a group vote. All right, what happened to democracy? So he's here like, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's so strong and powerful and brave. Look at him sacrificing the rest of his life so somebody else can be saved. Mm-hmm. What about Chip, the four-year-old kid? You're going to stick him as a teacup for the rest of your life? Mrs. Potts? She's going to be a kettle. Do you know how hard it is to wash the spout of a kettle? It's nasty up in there. Lumi, all of them. So as a prince, your job is to look after all of your subjects, including your staff at the castle. He did not sacrifice just himself. He sacrificed like 20 people. So this old geezer who got himself into trouble he could have not gotten into could go get rescued. And I had an issue with that. And Chad's like, no, he absolutely did the right thing. That person was in danger. He should go save him. And I'm like, if you're at a train track and you got, and I mean, this is the hard question, but you got your girlfriend's father-in-law, who's an idiot, always getting into trouble on one track. And on the other track, you got 20 of your friends who you got into hot water and made into inanimate objects. Who are you killing?
Yeah.
You got a point.
There's not going to be a lot of love around. Right. You're right. I had never thought of it that way.
The passion is what killed me, man. Here's the thing. If it wasn't for that old geezer getting into trouble, he would have never met Belle. And the thing is, with the curse, he has to truly love her and she has to truly love him back. So for the curse to even break, period, he has to show her what true love is. And true love is self-sacrificing, you being selfless, letting her go after her father whose life is in danger. If he dies, that's the end. Whereas, like, there will be other girls, other chicks, I'm sure, that'll be happy to live in a mansion for free with a bunch of servants. So the teacup's going to be fine.
It's not selfless. It's selfish. And that's my point, because he didn't think of anyone else. He just thought of himself and his relationship to Belle. He uses the dog as a footstool. I mean, how about you show some true love to the people who've been serving you for 20 years, dude?
I've been out with worse, so.
The Burt Show.
And if you've ever been in a long distance relationship, you know it has its very unique challenges, right? You better be real secure, both of you guys, if you're living that far apart. And Mo's thinking, man, maybe his long distance relationship's in trouble right now.
Might be doomed. I might be doomed. And I don't think Kristen did it on purpose, but she caused some tension in my relationship.
Oh, no.
What'd she do this time?
Yes, right. So, okay, this all started over when my PS5 broke, and I told Jai that I believed that my lady broke my PS5. Now, I knew she broke it. That wasn't the question.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, did she do it on purpose?
Right.
Because a part of me thought like that might have been a thing. So when we took the PS5 in to get fixed, the guy who was fixing it told me he can pretty much tell by what's wrong with it if it was tampered with or if it was just an honest break, an honest mistake. He somehow came to the conclusion that it was a mistake. Now, she dropped the PS5 off. I wasn't there. I don't know if she paid him off. I don't know if she told him something. I don't know. But I let it go. PS5 was not broke on purpose. So then I got in my head about it because y'all were PS5 shaming me, telling me that I'm on my game when my lady is in town. And that's a problem. Like, if my lady is visiting from out of town, long distance relationship, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
I should not be on my video game if she's there.
I mean, I could see it if it's like an hour. Okay, it's like some downtime. You come off of work or whatever, an hour. That makes sense to me. But if she's coming down and she's missing work to hang specifically with you.
Right.
You shouldn't be more than an hour a day, right?
See, that's how I know, Bert, that you're just not a gamer.
Yeah.
Because There is no hour when it comes to play right? state. Man, an hour turned into 3 hours so fast, you don't even realize it's happened. An hour is very difficult to do.
This is the reason why I never started gaming, because I know I'd be so competitive with myself about it that I would just embrace it and I wouldn't be able to do anything else.
It's difficult. It's just as difficult to walk away from at times. Like if you're watching a really good Netflix show or something and you like, you got to know what happens next. Video games can do this to you as well. And sometimes the time will get away from you. So I, Kristen challenged me to come up with a timesheet of when my lady is in town and from the time that she gets there to the time that she leaves, right? And I was excited about this because I was like, this is going to make me look good. Like, I'm telling y'all, I spend so much time with her when she's here that I'm going to end up looking good at the end of this. Now, once I tell y'all this, I really don't think that that's what the debate is going to be. What I think the debate is going to be is what became the debate in the house.
Okay.
And
let me just add this also, is that Kristen is here today. She's just not feeling good, so she stepped out of studio for a minute. So this is a little missed time. We just didn't know she was going to be in here. But maybe it's for the best.
So what we really debated, right, was, which I didn't think that this is what was going to turn into the thing of this, what actually counts as quality time in a relationship. Okay. That's where I think the debate is here, right? Yep. Because as I started bringing up what I thought was quality time on my timesheet, my lady was like, you're completely cheating. Like, none of that should count as quality time. So my question to y'all, a few questions.
Okay.
If she's working, like, from a laptop, and I'm not, or if I'm working from a laptop and she's not, but we're sitting together and the television is on, does that count as quality time?
No.
What?
That is low quality time.
She said low quality.
But it's, okay, still quality, right? That's what I'm hearing. So, Kristen, I don't know if you heard that.
No.
Would you count this as quality time if my lady is working on a laptop, I'm not, but I'm next to her, or if I'm working on a laptop, she's not working, but she's next to me, and the television is on? Is that quality?
So one person is watching TV while the other person is working, but you're there on the couch.
Sitting right next to each other.
Right next to each other.
No, it's not.
She said the same thing. How is this not quality time?
Because if the two of you are watching the same screen together, like if you're sitting there, like, so Bart and I have a show, The Challenge. You are very familiar. Yes. You love The Challenge as well.
Absolutely.
And the 40th anniversary, like the 40th season is playing now and it has like all the OGs on it. So my husband and I, we sit down and we watch this show together. We don't sit down, me on my phone, him watching it, or we don't sit down with him on his phone and me watching it, or a laptop in front of us. If you both are engaged in the same thing and can have conversation about it while you're watching it, I deem that quality time.
See, what you want to believe is just presence is quality time. Just being in the same room together is quality time.
Yes, time is passing and we're together. That's quality time.
No, that's time. There's a quality to it. What's the
quality? Quality is subjective. Time is happening.
Well, here's the thing. Does it feel like quality time to you? Do you feel like here is what you need to answer. If after the two of you have sat there for however long, do you feel closer to her?
Yes. Yes, because if we sit next to each other and don't talk at all, like literally don't say a word, but just be next to each other, I feel close to her.
I'm with Mo on that point. I don't think it's quality time because I don't think you're doing something together, but I do feel closer if we're in the room together. I think this is different between dudes and women. If we're just in the room in our presence together, it makes us feel closer, where I feel like, as a general statement, women need to be engaged in order to feel closer.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay, so I think y'all definitely not going to give me this one then. I thought that was the easy one. If I'm playing my PS5 and she's watching me and she's into it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that quality time?
Does she enjoy? So you're saying she's into it?
She's into it. I mean, maybe she's lying. I don't know, but she seems to be into it.
Okay, gaming, I think, counts as like a hobby and doing something together.
Okay. I mean, what would the difference be if you were playing softball and she was in the stands?
Yeah.
Right.
Same deal.
Yeah. Okay, so that does count.
Yeah.
All right, I got that one. Now, what if I'm watching something and she's sleeping? No. Or if she's watching something and I'm sleeping, but we're next to each other. In a bed.
That's called
She's
sleeping.
Unconscious. Why do I have to tell men this all the time?
Oh, no. No, you don't.
That doesn't count as quality time.
No.
No, I'll give you that one.
Again, that comes from the first point that just because you're in the same room together, you have to be doing an activity together in order for it to be quality time. And she has to be conscious of herself.
She has to be a sentient being.
I can't find that one. That's a good point.
And Bert, you said you guys have to be doing the same activity. If you guys are both laying there sleeping, that is not quality time. No,
okay. Both like, conscious.
Yes.
Now, if
same activity.
If she shows up in his dream, but he doesn't show up in hers, is that quality time?
So, all right, my last one. If we're both in the gym, is that quality time?
Yeah, I think it can.
You're working out together or you're in different sides of the gym?
Depends on the exercise at the moment. We don't work out as partners. Like, she does her thing, I do my thing, but we both in the gym.
I'm going no
also. Just because you're showing up to the place together doesn't make it quality time. You'd have to be working out together, I think, for it to be quality time.
Okay. Well,
and is that something you enjoy? I also think quality time, because if we're trying to define quality time, it also has to be something you enjoy. So, like, you could say we both went to the grocery store together. Was that quality time? I don't know. Like, do you like going to the grocery store? Like, is that your jam? Do you get your kicks off on doing that? Then maybe, but I would not consider going. Like, that is the bane of my existence, the grocery store. So going there together would not be constituted as quality time.
Okay.
What if he just doesn't enjoy quality time?
I'm starting to think I don't.
So using those three or four examples, what is the mathematical equation that you put together of quality time with the two of you guys together?
Well, it certainly has changed now. the science is not exactly the same as initially. But I only from she got here on Wednesday. From Wednesday, she left Monday morning. In all of that time, I only played my PlayStation for 2 hours on Friday and 2 hours on Saturday. And both times, well, one of the times she was watching me, the other time she was watching something else that she was watching, but we were in the same room.
That don't count.
Okay, but all the other times, the times when we didn't go to dinner or we didn't go do something that I know is quality time, I would say 70% of our time when she's here, now that I'm paying attention to it, is literally us being next to each other, but doing something different. That's probably like 70% of the time.
So what's the question? Is that what?
That's where our debate started with what counts as quality time, because to me, all of that counts. So I'm like, I'm spending 80% of my time. If I'm not at work, I'm with you. Even if I'm playing my PS5, that should count all as quality time in a long distance relationship.
All right. So as somebody who's been with somebody for a very, very, very long time.
sounds so exciting to be there.
This is quality time for Bart when she's away.
When I'm on the air from 6 to 10, this is Bart's quality time.
Because he's listening to her. He can hear her.
Yeah.
So it is quality. It doesn't matter where he is.
But I think there is something to be said. Like, you guys have been together for how long now?
Going on 2 years.
When she comes into town, you guys don't have to spend every waking moment doing something together. I do think just you two being in each other's presence and feeling the energy, you know what I'm saying? I think that is totally fine. So the fact that 70% of the time you're like, okay, we're together, but we're not really doing something together, that's exhausting. If you had to plan something to do every second of every day when she's in town, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay for the two of you just to coexist at your apartment as long as you're together.
Okay.
And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
So I won.
I'm not really sure. So when she starts messing around on you and you go over to the guy's house while they're doing it, is that quality time? Because you guys are still in the same house together.
Okay. And for some couples, that's a great time.
All right. So beating his ass, if she's in the room, that means that's quality time.
Yes.
Got it. The Bert Show. So we got to hang with Kylie Minogue yesterday, man. She's been doing this thing for over 40 years, doing it really, really well. And part of the reason why is that she loves her fans. And you could feel that yesterday. We had about 50 people here at the radio station hanging out. And she comes in, and we met her right beforehand just to, like, settle nerves and get to know each other before we were all hanging out on stage. And she's just, like, the most humble thing. And you could tell that she's just got this connection with her fans. And I kind of feel like that might have something to do with her success over four decades.
Oh, well, yeah, you're not going to be a success for four decades if you don't have an incredible relationship with your fans.
She's authentic.
Yeah, and it was just a different time that, you know, she came up in also, and I think Kristen asked a really good question of her also about, like, looking at the younger artists that are coming up and the mental health issues that they have to deal with was very, very different than when she was coming up.
show business, music industry can be such a cutthroat business, and it can be very, very difficult and hard on different levels.
It's not a picnic all the time.
I could only imagine. So as somebody is who, you know, you're a seasoned veteran, you've been doing this and doing it really, really well for a long time. Any of these new pop stars that are entering this realm, do you have any, like, sage words of wisdom or advice for them to help get a better grasp of, like, the fame and the notoriety and just the ups and the downs of the industry?
I would probably do. I'd love to have a cup of tea with them. And it would just come up in conversation as opposed to being like, now. But I kind of wish I had someone like that when I started out. I really didn't. I didn't have anyone expressly give me those words, any words of wisdom like that. I had to kind of fish for it or absorb it. What would I say to them? I'd say, trust your instinct. Listen to people, have good ears, have a good heart, be yourself. And every yesterday and every tomorrow, there's only one you. You know, I've been through it where you try and not be that person, but be like that person or be a different version of yourself. But yeah, you're pretty cool the way you are. And you're a work in progress, so don't expect too much. I mean, I was just playing them this morning. Chapel, Sabrina, Billy, they're all just, they seem to have it all together. I don't know whoever does, so that's possibly not the entire truth, but the younger generation seem to. I feel like a 20-year-old today is quite different to when I was 20 years old.
Yeah, nobody in their 20s has it together.
No.
And the difference here is they have to learn all these lessons in the public eye.
I think she also says, I mean, do we ever have it all together at any age?
I'm still working on it. So the entire interview will be up online at thebirdshow.com later on this morning. We're going to play clips from it, but I just know this, that if you're a big fan of her, she's the same person that you're seeing in interviews, online, same person that you see in concert. She's that genuine. She was awesome yesterday. All right, Jackson is back, and you're saying that you took the trip from hell.
Yeah, I did. I did, and I truly think I'm still recovering from it.
Like, how is currently. Hell? Who else there? I'm curious.
Well, I don't think you want to know, honestly.
I can make some guesses.
You'd probably be right. So this past weekend, I flew up to the Northeast to visit some of my girlfriend's family and friends. They host this very competitive Oktoberfest Beer Olympics every year. And this is the first year that I got the draft call to come up and compete, and I was very excited about that.
To train?
We trained, and I'm not even kidding. We actually trained for this. We actually practiced for this.
Wait, what do you do?
So there's like, there were 10 events that were played throughout 2 days. We had a list of events. They write out all the rules and like bylaws in this document. There's an opening ceremony. This is like a huge deal for them. This is their 10th annual one. It's such a big deal that the captains actually this year to celebrate the 10th anniversary went to Germany to do the draft.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very serious.
They were looking for an excuse to go to Germany.
Anyway, so obviously the weekend was going to be full of a lot of debaucherous drinking games, right? But this weekend also happened to coincide with Atlanta's Pride weekend, right? And I really wanted to come back in time for the parade on Sunday. And so in my dumb, pea-brained mind, I was like, yeah, 7 a.m. flight on Sunday sounds like a great idea, right?
That's usually the best flight to take. It's the first one out in the morning, hasn't been delays that are messing you all up. It's a great idea.
Mm. Exactly. But this is on the tail end of 2 full days of competing in these games, right? So Saturday night comes around and I'm already knowing that the morning is the chances of us catching this flight are slim to none. Okay? We're about an hour away from the airport, so this is like a 4:45, 5 a.m. departure, and it's already not looking good because it's already like 2 o'clock in the morning at this point, okay?
You're so not making it.
I just wanted them to stay up to catch the flight.
Yes. Exactly. So that was the option, but then I look and I'm like, maybe it's better off that I, like, am I even going to make it to the parade even if I get there? Like, how is this going to even work? So I'm looking at flights and I'm like, okay, good. There's available seats in the 4:30 flight. Let's just change it to that and we can call it day and be good with that, right? So we end up, I wake up in the morning early enough to get up and I look at over at my girlfriend in the state of the room and I'm like, there's no chance. So I end up changing the flight, and so we go to the airport.
So now you're leaving at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Now we're leaving at 4:30 in the afternoon, but
so
I'm telling
you made the conscious decision to disappoint an entire gay community in Atlanta.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound like
your ally card just got taken.
I'll turn it back another way. And so when I wake
up, like, for real, I am in rare form bad shape. I'm understanding at this point that this is going to be like a 2, maybe 3 day recovery process from just how I felt after waking up. So we head to the airport, get there. And like you said, Bert, you like to take the early flight, no delays.
Yes.
This one gets delayed 30 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? 30 minutes. No big deal, right? So we end up boarding the flight. And as soon as I walked on the flight, I turned to my girlfriend and I was like, why does it smell so, like, kind of weird? And I can't really describe the smell. It just smelled sort of like chemicals, but not like cleaning chemicals. It's really hard to explain, but there was a weird smell in the air. So we go and sit down at our seat, and flight takes off like normal. And I notice, like, this is only like a 2 hour flight. And about an hour into the flight, I notice that the plane takes like this massive banking turn just mid flight. And I'm like, there's no reason why we need to be turning right now. Like, we are, it's a straight shot back to Atlanta, right? And about 2 minutes later, a flight attendant comes on over to the intercom and is like, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to make an emergency landing in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We don't even have time to come around the cabin to pick up trash or anything. Please stow everything underneath your seats or in the seat pockets in front of you. Make sure your seatbelt's on. We'll be landing in like 10 minutes.
Okay, so stop right there for just 1 second. First of all, I've taken hundreds of flights in my life and have never had that announcement. I can't even imagine the terror that must be going through your mind and your heart at that point.
I had no clue what was going on. And again, this smell that I've been smelling the entire flight has been, it's been there, right? It's been ever present. And then she comes on and mentions there's an unknown odor that has been brought to our attention. And for everybody's safety, we are going to have to land the plane like right now.
I know you're like, how am I the only one who smelled this when we took off?
Exactly. Right. And so we end up making a rapid descent down to the airport. And, you know, I'm looking out the window. And as we're landing, I'm like, we're coming in hot. Like, I could tell that this was sort of a last minute thing that they had to do because we're not even that far away from Atlanta. If that, it wasn't that big of a deal, why not just go the extra 45 minutes, an hour for us to get there, right?
So are you remaining calm now? Are you terrified? Are you holding your girlfriend's hand just a little bit tighter? Is she freaking out?
She's freaking out a little bit because she's not a great flyer to begin with. I honestly felt pretty okay, but it was all just very weird. Like, I didn't really understand exactly what was happening.
He was too hungover to give an ass.
Also that.
That's what I'm picking up on this story. You were literally so hungover you could give two S's about doing an emergency landing.
I was a zombie, okay? So I'm, like, trying to react, but, like, it's delayed by 4 seconds.
You probably woke up in the morning at some point feeling so bad, saying, God, please take my life. And then a couple of hours later, God's like, okay.
How about now?
Right. And so
are people like yelling on the plane also, like, you know, when there's like extreme turbulence, you can hear the yells from the back of the plane? Are people freaking out?
No, but there's a lot of murmuring going on. You can hear a lot of talking about just everyone sort of inquiring about what's happening and like people trying to flag down flight attendants and ask what's going on. And then they don't really know. So it's all just a bunch of confusion. Right.
Wow.
And so we land. And as soon as we, you know, we touch down and we're heading to our gate and I look out the window. And there's like a bunch of emergency vehicles that are waiting for us. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is like kind of serious, right?
It's crazy.
And so we get to our gate and they say,
and you're still just hungover.
And I'm
like,
still just like, just sitting there.
I'm like, I'd be going into praying mode for sure.
You know, after we touched down, I was like, all right, like we're probably fine. I'm now picking up that my emotions were not totally in check with where they should have been.
Thanks for the solid, Tom.
And so we get to and they tell us to all remain seated, right? And as soon as the door opens, I had a seat that was like very close to the door, like 8 firefighters walk in and they have this like weird sort of scanner and they walk past me up to the front of the plane to like, you know, where the cockpit is.
Abby wants to know if they were cute.
Get any of their numbers?
Selfish.
And they have the scanner, which I presumably think was to detect like maybe a gas leak or something, because I think that's maybe what the problem was with the odor.
So they're not like disembarking any of you. You're all sitting,
we're all sitting there.
As the firefighters are going up and down the aisle looking for a potential gas leak.
Yes. Exactly.
You're going to have to let me off this flight.
Yeah. We need to keep the same energy. Like, you diverted. You came in hot. Get my ass off this plane.
I'm getting up out of here.
Yeah. Again, my emotions were clearly not a shackle. I'm just sitting there miserable and just being like, I just want to be home so bad. I wanted to be home so bad. So
like, I can suck in a couple
more
toxins before I get home. My brain's already mush from the beer. It'll be fine.
So So they give us no information. And then they're like, okay, everyone, everyone deboard the plane and make sure you stay around like the terminal, like right outside the gate. So we get off and I'm texting my parents and we're trying to figure out what to do. And I'm like, we're only a 2-hour drive away. Like how, I have no idea when another plane might come. It might be the next day. Who knows? Maybe it's better for us to rent a car, right? So I make the decision. Honestly, I don't even want to wait around to try and figure out information because it's so much chaos happening inside the terminal. The line for the checkout and encounter is already super long. So I'm like, let's just go. So my girlfriend and I leave and we run downstairs and we're not the only ones that have this idea, obviously. So we get down to like the main terminal area asking where the rental car place is. At this point, I had already booked a rental car on my phone. So I'm like, all right, we're good to go. Hopefully we can just get in and go. This is the point where my girlfriend realizes that she left her phone charger. So she needs a phone charger because her phone died. Okay. And I'm like, we need to get in line for the car, but she's like, I need a phone charger. So I'm like, okay, let's go get a phone charger.
And you're keeping your patience at this point, even though you're hungover, your plane's almost crashed, and now you can't get a car.
I'm in rare form. So we go to one of those Hudson News places. She gets her charger. Of course, the lady in front of her has a huge problem with checking out for some reason, so it takes longer than normal. We finally get to the rental car place, wait in line. As soon as I get up there, lady in front of us took the last key that they had.
Oh my God.
So the phone charger actually did make a difference because I was kind of making a fuss about it. And so they're like, it's probably going to be about an hour and a half till you get, until another car comes in.
Oh, man.
So now I'm sitting on the floor in this rental, you know, car place that's in a parking deck in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we're just waiting for our name to get called. Wait there for about an hour 45, and then our name finally gets called, and we get in the car. So then we have about a 2-hour drive home. At this point, we still have no idea what happened with the plane. We have no idea what's going on there. We get on the road for about 10 minutes. Boom, standstill traffic.
No, man.
Okay. I'm so upset at this point. I'm fuming at this point. And now my emotions are starting to like kind of come out a little bit more because it's all sort of piling on and getting to me.
I would have cried.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the type of person, like, when you get so overwhelmed with so many hurdles, like, in that moment, I just would have boohooed all over the place.
Right. And so it ends up taking us about 3.5 hours to get home. And about 45 minutes out, we're starving at this point because we haven't eaten all day, right? Man. What's the only thing that's open at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Waho.
Taco Bell.
Always there, man.
And I look at my girlfriend and I'm like, do you want to just stop and swing by Taco Bell real quick and get food? And she's like, honestly, no, let's just DoorDash it. And I'm like, I love you. You're the best. Yes, let's absolutely do that. So it's waiting for us when we get home, right? So we order it, get home. Finally, after all of this entire adventure.
Oh, no.
Taco Bell no-showed.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What did you do to go?
Taco Bell no-showed. It was maybe the worst day of my entire life.
How many hours did it take you? Because it was only supposed to be a how long of flight?
Like hour 45.
Hour 45. How long was your entire day? Traveling.
9 hours?
Nine hours.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
You sincerely could have been in Argentina.
Yeah.
Flight from Atlanta to Argentina is like 8.5 hours.
Absolutely.
Long.
Bet you wish you would have got on at 7 o'clock.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. And all of this could have been avoided had I just done that.
The Burt Show.